I have a prepared talk here, but over the last 2 days, I have encountered so much pain, confusion, questions about how events have affected us in the last 2 days, that I thought it might be of use to scrap the talk. The talk actually seems kind of trite right now, because we have actually, people are looking at hurt and confusion and wondering what to do. And, you know, I've already read 6,000 things to do on Facebook. And they range all over the place. But I wasn't thinking so much in terms of practicality, but in terms of how we feel about it, how we make any kind of sense with basic goodness, or, you know, whatever thing comes to mind that you might want to pursue. I don't have any expertise in leading this kind of discussion, and I don't have any plan, but I thought I would just throw it open for discussion. And I already talked to Barbara, and you want to start, Barbara?
And the reason we have this mic is it helps people hear.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Whenever I've had troubles, particularly around being able to take care of myself, I often think about what's still the same. That seems to help me. So I think about, I can still take a walk. I can still pet my dog. I can still love my husband. There's all these things that I can still do, and it doesn't have really anything to do with whatever is swirling around me. So that's kind of what I've been doing, is just trying to focus on I don't know how to say this, but it's sort of like what's mine and has nothing to do with whatever else is going on. I worked the elections. I worked for Boulder County for a week and a half, and I was in the middle of touching the ballots. I was doing something called separation, where you take the ballot out of the secrecy sleeve and you match numbers, particular numbers, to make sure that those are correct. And then you have to, and then we do them in batches of 150, and we have to recount to make sure that we have 150. It's all very specific. As soon as the ballot comes into the building, it's, there's cameras and people paying attention and a process. So I wasn't surprised, actually, because I had a chance to look at the ballots in Boulder County, and it was pretty amazing. So, anyway, that's just my thinking right now. I had a discussion with Linda Cressman about, you know, how do we deal with the issue of basic goodness? And we talked a little bit about something about Donald Trump's karma. And we talked a little bit about, you know, that it's an opportunity for all of us to wake up, including him. He'll be faced with things that are very hard for him, I imagine, living in his bubble that I think he's been living in most of his life. So I think it's going to be kind of painful for him. And in that sense, I can feel a sense of compassion for him, that this is going to be hard work. And he can't just say, I don't feel like doing it, you know? He can't. So, anyway, that's just my latest thinking.
Why don't we just pass it around and give everyone one shot to, and then open it up to just. And I think I also should say, which I neglected to say, that there's no presumption here that your pluses or minuses are the same as my pluses and minuses in this. But I think everyone is going to react and have some emotional contact with this.
I had a really strange thing happen when I was meditating this morning. I had this very odd, I was thinking about the elections, had this very odd glimmer of hope, which I wasn't expecting. I'm not quite sure where it came from, the universe somewhere. But it was very comforting, and I don't know what that means. I don't know if it was just something trying to tell me that everything's going to be okay. I don't know if it was some sort of the principle of basic goodness coming out. I don't know what it was, but it made me feel better, because the morning before I woke up and the first thing I did was look at my phone at the results and literally started shaking and thought I was going to get sick. So having that reaction the first morning and then having that happen this morning, it was very calming. And I think just remembering that all anybody can do is put one foot in front of the other from here and keep going. I was having a conversation this morning, and I know many people are extremely disturbed to varying degrees. But I was having a conversation with a friend of mine this morning whose husband has been having some health issues that haven't been figured out. And he was so completely distressed, and it pushed him, again, they haven't figured out what's going on with him, but it pushed him over the edge of hopelessness. And he had said that if the doctors find out that he's dying, he would choose to take his own life. That is where that this kind of thing pushed him over, and I thought to myself, I mean, that just, it almost dropped me to my knees when I heard her tell me that, and it almost took her down too, hearing that from your life partner. And I just think that there's just like I said, the spectrum of emotions that are going on right now, from glimmers of hope to pushing people over the edge of hopelessness, it's everybody needs to, see if they can find something to hang on to. Try to find that.
Well, let's see. I don't really think who I agree a lot with Barbara, what she said. Who's president doesn't make a lot of difference to the rest of us. He doesn't have a lot of power. Most of the power comes from the Pentagon. They control the money. They control the wars we fight. And we have no control over the Pentagon. So the president has a little bit of things he can do, but Trump's going to have to use his old visionary to build a wall anywhere. And I don't see how he can accomplish, well, no president has ever accomplished what they said they were going to do, because we don't know the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So I don't think there's anything to be afraid of.
Cassandra, I'm exceedingly happy it's over, because my mother-in-law watches Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and they were political ads for nothing but tearing people apart. So that's over. That feels good. I also have friends of the opposite party who... if I sit and talk to them, I mean, we agree like 95% of the time. We know what the problems are. sometimes there's a little variance in the solutions, but we all know, and I think there are a lot of people very unhappy with what's been going on in our country. And so we have different ways of expressing that, clearly. The other thing is that if I look at my life, most of what Washington does doesn't really directly affect me too much. So if I just look at my life, things are pretty good. You have a friend who had some direct effects, but I get up in the morning and who's president doesn't come to mind for a while most of the time. I just live my life and it's pretty good.
I, about a week ago, or a week before Tuesday, I started getting totally angst-ridden or anxiety attacks, and couldn't sleep very well, tired all day, and sure enough, Tuesday night when I found I was, that Trump was going to win, all of a sudden it calmed me completely, even though it wasn't the outcome I was hoping for. And somehow, just to have it over, calmed me.
I'm going to turn off one mic because I think two is one too many.
And as I said a while ago, I've met so many people that have been in tears and, just really terrible situation. And about myself, I started wondering, why was I so attached to this? We're told, that attachment is the basic cause of our problems. That's the Buddhist party line. And it's supposed to be easy to get rid of your attachment. Well, in this case it wasn't, but I really thought about that for a long time. I know I have more to say later, but here, while I've got the microphone, I want to read you one piece of internet stuff that came out today.
Oh. I have that problem too.
So, this is something that was written by Terry Tempest Williams. Have you heard of her?
Yeah.
Kind of a poet about town. And this supposedly appeared on her Facebook page this morning and has been passed around until it reached me. It is morning. I am morning. And the river is before me. I am a writer without words who is struggling to find them. I am holding the balm of beauty, this river, this desert, so vulnerable, all of us. I am trying to shape my despair into some form of action, but for now, I'm standing on the cold edge of grief. We are staring at a belligerent rejection of change by our fellow Americans who believe they have voted for change. The seismic shock of a new political landscape is settling. For now, I do not feel like unity is what's called for. Resistance is our courage. Love will become us. The land holds us still. Let us pause and listen and gather our strength with grace and move forward like water in all its manifestation, flat water, white water, rapids and eddies, and flood. Flood this country with an integrity of purpose and patience and persistence capable of cracking stone. I am a writer without words who continues to believe in the vitality of the struggle. Let us hold each other close and be kind. Let us gather together and break bread. Let us trust what is required of us. What is required of us next will become clear in time. What has been hidden is now exposed. This river, this morning, this moment, may we be brave enough to feel it deeply. Okay, that's it for now.
Well, I was definitely shocked and bewildered. I didn't really believe it could happen. I told many people and tried to calm many people down, just saying that it's, you know, it's not really a possibility. People, I like I say, there's a lot of wise people that think different than me, but I just didn't think everybody would come to that conclusion. And it bothers me. But I also see some goods coming up that could. I know the form of it, but I felt that there's something that will be helpful to me or the world. Right now, I think we're going to head in a backwards direction, and several things are quite important. I think our environment, you know, the world is, we're going to head in a backwards direction now, and I think maybe that's the way it goes. You go forward a little and you come back a little bit, but I don't think any of us are sure how much time we have left for that to make some kind of correction. And it's scary to just completely deny science and say that we're going to help out everybody with jobs in coal and oil. So I can't say that I can, but I do know a lot about the problems of attachment and wanting everything my way. But it's also good for me to actually realize that maybe I can have a little attachment, that, you know, I've done so much work on letting that go. And it's actually created a bit of a hider in me, that I try to be pretty amicable and listen to everybody because they often have good points, but I also don't speak up a lot. And I foresee some things, like in the climate world, you know, the environmental world, the immigration, the minority issues and things that are going to require speaking up and actually showing my face. So that could be good for me. I think I've already had calls of people asking how to handle this. And I actually had a good friend, he had mentioned casually, but he was basically begging to learn about meditation. So there'll be often a lot of places to be able to be of benefit. And
I don't love talking everybody into these things, so I am basically a person who is sort of apolitical. I've often felt like it's how I live my life and how others live their lives that matters most to me. But it's been very painful hearing all the negativity that went around this and trying to sort through it. And I feel a little bit like a bird wanting to tuck my head under my wing right now. Feel a little bit wounded as an American, which surprises me. I mean, since I said I was sort of apolitical, there's something that's relatively painful in terms of if I were to travel, proclaiming my Americanness when there's this person that, you know, he may be okay, he may learn a lot, he may do some good things, we may not be able to, we may go backwards. I think it's been sobering in a little bit for him too. I looked at his picture on the front page of the paper and thought he looked very different yesterday morning than he has looked. So that's my glimmer of hope. Otherwise, I feel like Barbara and many of you that we just, and the poem was very touching to me. And it does feel like, you know, you have to go ahead and stand up in some way. But, you know, maybe the way I'm going to choose is not so different from what I'm doing now. But maybe just a little bit more, less shy about it. So, I am very relieved not to have to listen to Bill make jokes. Because he can't right now.
I'm not out there advocating that, hey, I like Hillary or I like Clinton or Joe or Gary. I mean, there are only human beings, they're not gods. And that's one thing I think many people put these people on this high pedestal, think that they're going to cure everything, and they're not. However, the atom bomb went off my house for the past couple of days ever since this announcement that Trump won, and it's just been one nuclear catastrophic event after another. The person I happen to be married to is very political, and so it creates a lot of tension. So I have to kind of keep my spirituality in check with this, because the vocalization of the frustration and the anger, the hate, you know, it's very apparent. And, of course, I've watched all the political debates, and I can't tell you how many times they reference Mexicans as being racists and terrorists, which is kind of, I have to laugh at that now, because now we've been stereotyped or labeled, not considering also the Muslims and every other people from foreign countries, how they've been put a label on themselves as well. But the thing is, prior to my background, as from being a religious background, going back to the beginning, saying I don't put these people on pedestals, because they're only human, they can die tomorrow. Somebody can come along and be totally frustrated with Trump and shoot him just like anybody else. You're only human. So my understanding and rationality about this is that, you know, true. What goes around comes around, karma. I really believe in that, and that loving kindness, having some wisdom and understanding this, which is, I think a lot of people are still having trouble grappling, because it is very complex, because they were thinking, well, maybe Hillary was going to win, and it turned out Trump did, and so I was kind of like, oh boy, this is going to be interesting. Granted, he's a businessman, and being in a government position is going to be a whole new ball game for him. So he's going to have to learn all the rules. Okay. And through going through Congress, because he can't make all the final decisions, so Congress is going to have to say yes or no, whatever comes down with hype. So everything's on you, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all is going to work out. But I can say, you know, I feel for the guy, because now there's a lot of talk. Let's see if you can do the walk. That's what really matters.
I work with a woman who is Chinese, and the shock of this election, both of us had our first real political conversation yesterday, I guess it was. And I'm not going to try to summarize this, but I was thinking about the weird kind of parallels between the U.S. and China. Because over the last few decades, they both drifted into a situation where the cities are filled with these rich, educated, wealthy, elite people drinking their lattes and stuff. And then out in the countryside, there's these people who have just been left behind and have no hope for years. You know, they've had no hope. Now, we in America, with our democracy, actually had the chance to make a correction to our course. And that is maybe the sense in which America is great. Whereas in China, the guys in the Politburo, you know, Xi and all the others, are just scratching their heads. They don't really have a solution to that problem of what to do with the people out in the countryside. And so that is the sense in which we're actually, as painful as this is, it could be easier than the transition the Chinese are setting themselves up for to solve the same problem. So in that sense, it's actually not about Trump at all. It's about, you know, connecting with the disparity between the privileged and the unprivileged, and also more or less the city versus the country. So I just think that's maybe something to be, I don't know what the word is, comforted by or something. Just appreciate the fact that our democracy actually works in some fundamental sense. Like the Sakya talks about, society is basically good. And that doesn't mean it's going to go the way you thought it was going to go.
It's wonderful.
Well, like some of you, I am a very political person. I have been for years. I was a union rep. Treasurer of our union, far left wing. But I have to tell you, like J.D., I knew a week before the election that he was going to win. And even before the results started coming in on Wednesday, on Tuesday night, I knew he was going to win. And one of the things we need to keep in mind is that it's not just in this country that the far right is raising its ugly head. It's happening in Europe. It's very disturbing, and I don't see how you can it would be impossible for me to manipulate my mind to find any basic goodness in this man, because he's a demon, he hates women, he's a bigot, he's a Nazi. It's the worst thing that has happened to this country in a long time. But listening to NPR, you hear that there are cycles that this country goes through, whereas we had a president like President Obama who was trying to his best to help most people. And this is a reactionary event that certainly the New York Times did not see coming, because right up until Monday, they're giving percentages by which Hillary was going to win. So it's I am in shock. I don't know how it's going to work out, but just as J.D. says, when you have a non-believer, I mean, we don't know who's going to be put in what slot yet, but when you see Rudy Giuliani as head of the Justice Department, and Christie is maybe head of it, maybe, I think I've said enough, you get the gist of the way that I feel about this, but I am very disturbed, and I just can't see how it's going to play out.
Okay, it's now open mic, I guess.
I guess I just wanted to say, I'm not sure who I'm apologizing to, but I realize that what I said was because I am a privileged person. And I really do feel a tremendous compassion for people who are afraid for themselves and what kind of climate we're dealing with. So I don't know what my role will be, but I can't pretend that that's not very important to me. So it always has been.
I think this is going to provide us with an opportunity to be more generous and kind to each other, to be more generous in our communities, to work harder to accomplish the things we want to accomplish. And this is the best opportunity we've got. And it's, we're all conscious of what we're doing. And so we need to build a community that's strong, that can give us what we want in our community.
That's good, Richard. I was sort of thinking the same thing. I was talking to my son, who's also quite unhappy with what's going on. And I know that I think none of us individually is going to impact what happened at a national level. But we can impact what happens here, and maybe one of the things that we could do, or maybe more of us could do, is get involved, as you said, here in Boulder, or Longmont rather, to meet our council folks, talk to them, find out what's up with them, maybe encourage them. It's like the Scytown tells us that, start at the home and then work out, start with yourself. But working outwards is necessary. The other thing he tells us is we have to watch out because we always want another now. and that happened to a lot of us on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, we wanted
another now. Not the one that we had.
I remind everybody that in Boulder, Saturday afternoon, we will have the Shambhala Sadhana. Have people here done the Shambhala Sadhana? I wonder, what are we supposed to do about some crisis in basic goodness, or what we think about basic goodness? I mean, we chant, I am basically good. We chant, all beings are basically good. We chant, society is basically good. And what do we do when we come up against a wall, like Ted has suggested? And we're all, it's not just Ted, we all meet that wall of doubt about basic goodness in our own way. Doesn't have to be political. Could be our neighbor. What do we do about that? Do we scrap the whole concept of basic goodness? Do we have a little whisper that says, oh yeah, except for...
all beings except.
Anyone want to bite on this?
No, I don't probably think I have the answer to it, but I do know...
No, it's an ongoing riddle.
Certainly in talking to other people and noticing my own reactions and my own understanding of things, I can tell and relate with what I really do is I feel this, and if this mood, and then want to start patching it up and getting ground on my feet and trying to figure out what needs to be done to fix it, get it the way I think it ought to be, and there's got to be some of that. Like I said, I do think it's going to be an opportunity to come out of the woodwork and be who I truly am. But also it's an opportunity to open and just feel without trying to figure out how to feel, get things where I can feel differently, and just really knowing, which is basic goodness, my own being before a lot of thoughts of the way I think it needs to be for me to feel okay, you know, and helping other people to just experience their own being, their own way, and how they can be as it is now, and touch into the reality of that, and without trying to make the world to where they can't be okay, because it really is okay. May not be heading in the most beneficial direction, but we can work with that, and if we work with our own selves, which is, I think, basically good. And but knowing my reaction of tightening down and clamping down and talking about how it should be and what's wrong, is that's also in everybody else. And I can cut some people a break that don't agree with me, watching them do the same thing I'm trying not to do myself.
I'm sitting here listening and thinking I'm really not so apolitical after all. But what I think I am is, this is a political phrase, pro-choice. I have a choice each moment how I behave. And whether I'm open or whether I'm closed, you know, do I know my neighbor's name? Do I not know my name? Do I stop like a good Samaritan? Those are the simple things that I think we have to do more of. I think there's a real mandate for all of us to recognize actually our differences and our similarities and take responsibility for what we can do. And that has some possibility of filtering up at some point.
So you just put the Bodhisattva ideal in a nutshell right there.
I think that's really all we can do. I mean, and that is the best of society when we do that. We don't really need a flood or an earthquake or we can have an election and be called to action, that kind of action.
Ceremony is something to talk about too. But I was just going to say, I know for me, even if I haven't necessarily been completely happy with the state of affairs in the United States over the years, I've been fairly comfortable, and for me, comfort tends to translate as being complacent. Mm-hmm. And I'm not very political either. I stopped watching the news about 4 months ago. Pretty much altogether, except for to catch the weather, because I couldn't take it anymore. But I think now that when you're faced with something that is a very clear picture of something that scares you, something that's the exact opposite of what you want, it tends to be highly motivational to be more outspoken about what I believe in, what I want, to be more vocal about practicing loving kindness and tolerance and patience and love, acceptance, and just standing up for what I believe in and promoting that sense of working together and community and oneness and that type of thing. So trying to take the negative and turn it into a positive and use it as a motivational tool. In past times, I wouldn't have been one who would go out and, you know, go to door to door with, you know, sign up for this or that or the other thing. But I can tell you, if something was coming about to overturn Roe versus Wade, I would be out there night and day. But you get what I mean. So I think that, you know, to use it as a motivational tool, just to be better people. It might be catching.
Yeah. Hear from Eric, and then I want to have one final exercise with us.
Okay. I really like what you said, and I think you're right. I mean, one way to look at what this period of time that we're entering into now is that there will be opportunities for us to intervene in ways that before we could kind of gloss over and just stay comfortable in our little lives. But it may be now that, you know, the people that are disadvantaged and the safety nets are coming down and everything, they could really use our help. And it behooves us as practitioners to, like, be awake and notice when stuff is out there that we need to help with. And boy, I've not been very good at that, but I mean, I'm thinking that maybe it's time to kind of get my act together in that regard over this next time.
Can I just say one more thing?
I want to say that when I was going through the ballots and I could see who people were voting for. Yeah, because they're out of the secrecy sleeve, so I could see. You can't tell who did it, but, you know, people were voting. Then I, at times when I was conscious, I would be sure that I was touching the paper as carefully, and unfolding it as carefully as I did the ones who were voting for the way I wanted it to go. So I guess what I want to say is, yes, you know, go out and do what you must. But also, I think it can be very minimal or small, or nobody knows. I'm saying it now just because I realized I was doing that. But it doesn't have to be big and loud. It could also be your own, you know? It could be your own and no one even has to know.
Thank you. Let's see, I'll take it anyway. Wake up my own mic. We have 5 minutes more. Can we have 5 minutes more?
I think
I was thinking of a way to close this, and I thank everyone for such wonderful, heartfelt comments, and Wise and Shambhalian too. The Sakyong, in his very elementary, and I mean the total beginner's teaching of meditation, has begun to emphasize feeling as something that we could just have in our meditation. And he says a lot of the trouble is we don't actually know what we're feeling. And so even, you know, what's your name, Acharya Azrael has been in charge of meditation instructors and has been talking about instruction should include some little bit of feeling. So let's try 5 minutes. It's, you know, even just right after this thing, we may be feeling different than we were a while ago. We may be, you know, have learned something at the feeling level that we can't put into words, but we can just kind of relax. Get into your version of a good posture. Breathing. Follow the breathing, but you know, before we get too stuck on the breathing, let's just kind of see how we feel. Not evaluate. Not name it particularly. Just be with it. Maybe look for any tense spots that might be holding a feeling. There's no wrong feeling. If there's a story that goes with the feeling, try to let the story go. It'll probably come back, but let it go. And you can mix that feeling with the feeling of the breathing. Thank you very much.